Topic 9. Dry. The evils of duplication. Giving a computer two contradictory pieces of knowledge was Captain James T. Kirk's preferred way of disabling a marauding artificial intelligence. Unfortunately, the same principle can be effective in bringing down your code. As programmers, we collect, organize, maintain, and harness knowledge. We document knowledge in specifications, we make it come alive in running code, and we use it to provide the checks needed during testing. Unfortunately, knowledge isn't stable. It changes, often rapidly. Your understanding of a requirement may change following a meeting with the client. The government changes a regulation and some business logic gets outdated. Tests may show that the chosen algorithm won't work. All this instability means that we spend a large part of our time in maintenance mode, reorganizing and re-expressing the knowledge in our systems. Most people assume that maintenance begins when an application is released, that maintenance means fixing bugs and enhancing features. We think these people are wrong. Programmers are constantly in maintenance mode. Our understanding changes day by day. New requirements arrive and existing requirements evolve as we're heads down on the project. Perhaps the environment changes. Whatever the reason, maintenance is not a discrete activity, but a routine part of the entire development process. When we perform maintenance, we have to find and change the representations of things, those capsules of knowledge embedded in the application. The problem is that it's easy to duplicate knowledge in the specifications, processes, and programs that we develop. And when we do so, we invite a maintenance nightmare, one that starts well before the application ships. We feel that the only way to develop software reliably, and to make our developments easier to understand and maintain, is to follow what we call the DRY principle. Every piece of knowledge must have a single, unambiguous, authoritative representation within a system. Why do we call it DRY? Tip 15 explains. DRY. Don't repeat yourself. The alternative is to have the same thing expressed in two or more places. If you change one, you have to remember to change the others. Or, like the alien computers, your program will be brought to its knees by a contradiction. It isn't a question of whether you'll remember, it's a question of when you'll forget. You'll find the DRY principle popping up time and time again throughout this book, often in contexts that have nothing to do with coding. We feel that it is one of the most important tools in the Pragmatic Programmer's toolbox. In this section, we'll outline the problems of duplication and suggest general strategies for dealing with it. DRY is more than code. Let's get something out of the way up front. In the first edition of this book, we did a poor job of explaining just what we meant by "don't repeat yourself." Many people took it to refer to code only. They thought that DRY means don't copy and paste lines of source. That is part of DRY, but it's a tiny and fairly trivial part. DRY is about the duplication of knowledge, of intent. It's about expressing the same thing in two different places, possibly in two totally different ways. Here's the acid test. When some single facet of the code has to change, do you find yourself making that change in multiple places and in multiple different formats? Do you have to change code and documentation, or a database schema and a structure that holds it? If so, your code isn't DRY. So let's look at some typical examples of duplication. Duplication in code. It may be trivial, but code duplication is oh so common. At this point, I could read you a whole bunch of code, to be honest, I don't really want to. So, instead, I'll let the boys explain it.
Imagine a function to print account balances. First, you print the account debits using a format string, something like %10.2f, perhaps. Next, you print the credits with the format string. Then there's a comparison to see if the account fees are negative or positive. You print the fees using the format string, with or without a leading minus sign, as needed. To make it pretty, you print out a separator consisting of some space characters and hyphens that lines up nicely. Finally, you need to print out the balance. There's a comparison to see if the balance is negative or positive. You print the balance using the format string, with or without a leading minus sign, as needed. Can't you just hear the duplication? Let's start with the negative number handling, and add a function named formatAmount. That will encapsulate the format string of %10.2f, the decision of positive versus negative, and the minus sign if needed. You could even extend that later on to display negative amounts using parentheses, and now you'd only have to make that change in one place. So that gets rid of both if statements, but we're still left with a handful of format strings in each print call. You could make that a constant, but since we've already got a separate format amount function, let's use that instead of the bare print statements. As part of that, we'll move the label for each amount into the format amount function, so that any decisions about label placement can be made in one place, within the format amount function. Now in the code, we're just passing labels and amounts down to a single common function that does the formatting. Now, this might sound like a contrived example, but it's actually easy to fall into this trap one small step at a time. You start with one simple statement, add another, then a comparison, and before you know it, you've got a mass of code that duplicates intent over and over.
Not all code duplication is knowledge duplication. As part of your online wine ordering application, you're capturing and validating your user's age, along with the quantity they're ordering. According to the site owner, they should both be numbers and both greater than zero. So you code up two validations. Validate age takes a value and checks that it is an integer that's greater than zero. The second validation, validate quantity, does exactly the same. During code review, the resident know-it-all bounces this code, claiming it's a dry violation. Both function bodies are the same. They're wrong. The code is the same, but the knowledge they represent is different. The two functions validate two separate things that just happen to have the same rules. That's a coincidence, not a duplication. Duplication in documentation. Somehow, the myth was born that you should comment all your functions. Those who believe in this insanity then produce something such as this. First, a comment block. Calculate the fees for this account. Each return check costs $20. If the account is in overdraft for more than 3 days, charge $10 for each day. If the average account balance is greater than $2,000, reduce the fees by 50%. This is followed by a whole bunch of code that does exactly what the comment says. The intent of this function is given twice, once in the comment and again in the code. The customer changes a fee and we have to update both. Given time, we can pretty much guarantee the comment and the code will get out of step. Ask yourself what the comment adds to the code. From our point of view, it simply compensates for some bad naming and layout. How about just this? Your turn, Dave.
To start, we'll call our function something meaningful, like calculate account fees. And we'll also call its parameter something meaningful. In this case, we're passing in the account, so why not call it account? That means we could then write code such as fees equals 20 times account.returnCheckCount, which is a lot easier to understand. Of course, we'd probably want to move that 20 out to some separate configuration thing at some point. And we'd carry on doing that. Fees plus equals 10 times account.overdraftDays if account.overdraftDays is greater than 3. And so on and so on. You can basically start at the top and read this function as if it was a little story telling you what it's trying to do. It's a comment, but it's in code.
The name says what it does. And if someone needs details, they're laid out in the source. That's dry. Dry violations in data. Our data structures represent knowledge, and they can fall afoul of the dry principle. Let's look at a class representing a line.
We'll write a class called line, and it'll have three instance variables, start and end, both of which are points, and a length, which is a double.
At first sight, this class might appear reasonable. A line clearly has a start and an end, and will always have a length, even if it's zero. But we have duplication. The length is defined by the start and end points. Change one of the points, and the length changes. It's better to make the length a calculated field. So we replace the instance variable length with the function double length return start.distance to end. Later on in the development process, you may choose to violate the dry principle for performance reasons. Frequently, this occurs when you need to cache data to avoid repeating extensive operations. The trick is to localize the impact. The violation is not exposed to the outside world. Only the methods within the class have to worry about keeping things straight. There's a related important issue. Whenever a module exposes a data structure, you're coupling all the code that uses that structure to the implementation of that module. Where possible, always use accessor functions to read and write the attributes of objects. It will make it easier to add functionality in the future. This use of accessor functions ties in with Meyer's uniform access principle, described in Object-Oriented Software Construction, which states that all services offered by a module should be available through a uniform notation, which does not betray whether they are implemented through storage or through computation. Representational duplication. Your code interfaces to the outside world. Other libraries via APIs, other services via remote calls, data in external sources, and so on. And pretty much every time you do, you introduce some kind of dry violation. Your code has to have knowledge that is also present in the external thing. It needs to know the API, or the schema, or the meaning of error codes, or whatever. The duplication here is that two things, your code and the external entity, have to have knowledge of the representation of their interface. Change it at one end, and the other end breaks. This duplication is inevitable, but can be mitigated. Here are some strategies. Duplication across internal APIs. For internal APIs, look for tools that let you specify the API in some kind of neutral format. These tools will typically generate documentation, mock APIs, functional tests, and API clients, the latter in a number of different languages. Ideally, the tool will store all your APIs in a central repository, allowing them to be shared across teams. Duplication across external APIs. Increasingly, you'll find that public APIs are documented formally using something like OpenAPI. This allows you to import the API spec into your local API tools and integrate more reliably with the service. If you can't find such a specification, consider creating one and publishing it. Not only will others find it useful, you may even get help maintaining it. Duplication with data sources. Many data sources allow you to introspect on their data schema. This can be used to remove much of the duplication between them and your code. Rather than manually creating the code to contain this stored data, you can generate the containers directly from the schema. Many persistence frameworks will do this heavy lifting for you. There's another option, and one we often prefer. Rather than writing code that represents external data in a fixed structure, an instance of a struct or class, for example, just stick it into a key-value data structure. Your language might call it a map, hash, dictionary, or even an object. On its own, this is risky. You lose a lot of the security of knowing just what data you're working with. So we recommend adding a second layer to this solution. A simple, table-driven validation suite that verifies that the map you've created contains at least the data you need in the format you need it. Your API documentation tool might be able to generate this. Interdeveloper duplication. Perhaps the hardest type of duplication to detect and handle occurs between different developers on a project. Entire sets of functionality may be inadvertently duplicated, and that duplication could go undetected for years, leading to maintenance problems. We heard firsthand of a U.S. state whose governmental computer systems were surveyed for Y2K compliance. The audit turned up more than 10,000 programs that each contained a different version of Social Security number validation code. At a high level, deal with the problem by building a strong, tight-knit team with good communications. However, at the module level, the problem is more insidious. Commonly needed functionality or data that doesn't fall into an obvious area of responsibility can get implemented many times over. We feel that the best way to deal with this is to encourage active and frequent communication between developers. Maybe run a daily Scrum stand-up meeting. Set up forums such as Slack channels to discuss common problems. This provides a non-intrusive way of communicating, even across multiple sites, while retaining a permanent history of everything said. Appoint a team member as the project librarian, whose job is to facilitate the exchange of knowledge. Have a central place in the source tree where utility routines and scripts can be deposited. And make a point of reading other people's source code and documentation, either informally or during code reviews. You're not snooping, you're learning from them. And remember, the access is reciprocal. Don't get twisted about other people pouring through your code either. Tip 16. Make it easy to reuse. What you're trying to do is foster an environment where it's easier to find and reuse existing stuff than to write it yourself. If it isn't easy, people won't do it. And if you fail to reuse, you risk duplicating knowledge.